Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me Putri to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, commentary, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well listener, we begin with Newsline. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo awarded Press Freedom Medal. Indonesia's disaster risk reduction model named Best Practice. Those are the headlines, now the news in detail. I'm Donald Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received a Press Freedom Medal from Chairman of the Press Council, Yosep Stanley Adi Prasetyo, on the 2019 National Press Day on Saturday. Prasetyo remarked, "The Press Freedom Medal is the highest award bestowed by the press community on an individual or institution that has contributed significantly for the interests of the press." President Jokowi responded by saying that he felt proud and grateful to the press in Indonesia for trusting him to receive the award. As quoted by Antara, "The government has so far guaranteed press freedom and accepted various forms of constructive criticism as a means of social control." On the occasion, besides the president, the Association of Indonesian Journalists also presented awards to a number of figures since they were considered to contribute to the development of the press. Indonesian President Joko Widodo hopes that media can be a home for information clarification by providing verified information. The president said that conventional media was needed to carry out the role of giving great hopes to the Indonesian people. He said the role of mass media is needed because socially is presented with an abundance of information followed by massive developments in social media. The president added, "In fact, everyone carry out the profession of journalists by disseminating information." It was stated by the president during the National Press Day 2019 in Surabaya, Java on Saturday. Indonesia's disaster risk reduction model has been named the best practice during the Humanitarian Networks and Partnerships Week 2019 organized in Geneva, Switzerland on February 4-8, 2019. Indonesia's experiences in handling disaster recovery in Palu and Donggala, Central Sulawesi Province, have been made lessons and model in disaster mitigation, according to information from the Indonesian Representative Office in Geneva on Saturday. Indonesia received the accolade during a discussion on localization in disaster response, lessons learned, and good practices in the Asia-Pacific, organized by Australia, the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, and the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, UN OCHA. Meanwhile, UN OCHA Regional Office Representative in Bangkok, Kristen Knudsen, pointed to the easy in cooperating with stakeholders in Indonesia owing to their high level of preparedness. Indonesian Consulate General in Jeddah provides briefing on safety priorities for 35 Indonesian migrant workers who are just working in Saudi Arabia. As reported by Antara in Jakarta on Saturday, the briefing was packed in a welcoming program. The briefing was delivered by Indonesian Acting Consul General in Jeddah, Safad Gofur, and Indonesian Technical Staff, Consul of the Manpower of Indonesia in Jeddah, Muhammad Yusuf. The briefing was delivered by Indonesian Acting Consul General in Jeddah, Safad Gofur, and Indonesian Technical Staff, Consul of the Manpower of Indonesia in Jeddah, Muhammad Yusuf. The briefing material includes an understanding of the labor law and regulation system in Saudi Arabia, the importance of the signing of working agreement and self-report, so it will make it easier for the Indonesian consulate to provide consular protection and services, assistance in solutions to labor and immigration problems. The welcoming program activities ended with the socialization of online self-reports to every migrant worker present at the van. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia Defense Minister Riamizat Riyakudu said diplomatic relation between Indonesia and Turkey is very important, especially as a fellow country with a majority Muslim population and also a modern democracy. It was stated by Mr. Riyamizat at the main office of the Ministry of Defense of the Republic of Turkey, Ankara, recently. Minister Riyamizat, in a statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Saturday, said that Indonesia and Turkey had a defense industry cooperation agreement document signed in Ankara on June 29, 2010. At present, the Indonesian Ministry of Defense and the Turkish Ministry of National Defense are discussing the preparation of the defense cooperation agreement as a legal umbrella for the comprehensive defense cooperation. Pertamina's subsidiary, PT Pertamina Hulu Energy, on Saturday officially took over 100% the management of Jambi Merang working area. As quoted by Antara, President Director of Pertamina Hulu Energy, Medawati, along with Deputy Planning for Special Oil and Gas Work Unit Bumi, Jaffi Swardin, inaugurated the management transfer of the Jambi Merang working area, which was held at the Sungai Kanawang gas plant located in Kalibirau Village, Bayung Lencher District, Musi Banyuasin Regency, South Sumatra. Mediawati said, with 100% management rights, Pertamina Hulu Energy targets gas production to be 80 million cubic feet per day and condensate to 4,000 barrels per day. Jaffi Swardin believes that the management of Pertamina's Jambi Merang working area can take place sustainably in order to support achievement of national oil and gas production targets. Indonesian Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto said manufacture is the backbone of national economic growth. Minister Erlangga, in his statement in Jakarta on Saturday, said the government was focused on developing manufacturing industries which focused on the processing of natural resources, export-oriented and labor-intensive. An integrated supply chain approach from upstream to downstream will make it more competitive at the domestic, regional, and global levels. The minister also explained industrialization activities consistently provide a broad chain effect for the national economy. The impact is, among others, increasing value-added domestic raw materials. Increasing added value domestic raw materials absorb local labors as well as foreign exchange earnings from exports and taxes. Well, listener, that was the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. This week's spotlight is titled Police Prepares Verification Team to the Philippines. The police are preparing a team to verify the claims by a Philippine minister that the recent suicide bomb attack in the Philippines were conducted by Indonesian nationals. Until now, there is no certainty about the data about two suicide bombers on Jolo, Sulu, Mindanao on January 27th. The head of the Public Information Division of the Indonesian Police, Senior Commissioner Syahar Diantoto in Jakarta on Wednesday, February 6th, said that the verification team would be dispatched to the Philippines. He explained the team consisted of Special Anti-Terror Detachment, or DENSUS, 88, representatives of the National Intelligence Agency, BIN, National Counter-Terrorism Agency, BNPT, and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. They will help identify perpetrators of the bombings which killed 22 people and injured 100 others. On Sunday, February 3rd, Philippine Interior Minister Eduardo Ano at the government radio station, as reported in the Manila Bulletin, said the Philippines will cooperate with Indonesia to identify the perpetrators. He said he also has other sources which also lead to the couples allegedly from Indonesia. In his interview with the radio, Ano said the investigation still needed the forensic results and the DNA of the perpetrators. Meanwhile, observers of terrorism and intelligence Haris Abu Ulia considered the accusations made by the Philippine authorities were still premature. Therefore, Haris requested that the Indonesian people not overly respond to the issue of the involvement of Indonesian citizens in the case. The facts in the field have not yet showed any light, and the investigation process is still being conducted. So, the Philippine accusation is still premature because there had also been a bomb at the end of July 2018 in a shopping center in the Basilan region, Mindanao. At that time, information was circulating about the involvement of Indonesian citizens, which ultimately was not proven. On Tuesday, February 5th, Indonesian Ambassador to the Philippines, Sinyo Hari Sarundayang, said the Philippine National Police itself was still awaiting the results of the DNA testing of the bodies of the two perpetrators. The results of DNA examinations are important to prove the alleged involvement of two Indonesian citizens as accused by Eduardo Uano. Thus, until now, there has not been any certainty about the involvement of Indonesian citizens in the bombings in Jolo. Well, as another that was spotlight of this week, I'm Putri Safira Adela. Thank you for listening and see you next time.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Today in History over VOI in Jakarta. I'll begin with February 10, 1931. New Delhi becomes the capital of India. The establishment of the city of New Delhi as the capital of India originated from the initiative of the British colonial government. The New Delhi city was built in 1911 because the British colonial government decided to move the capital from Kolkata or Calcutta. This area was designed by two British architects, Sir Edwin Lutyens and Sir Herbert Baker. Turning to February 10, 1947, the Paris Peace Agreement is signed. The Paris Peace Conference produced a peace agreement of countries involved in World War II signed on February 10, 1947. In this conference, allies, especially the United States, Soviet Union, United Kingdom, France, and Canada, negotiated peace with Italy, Romania, Hungary, Bulgaria, and Finland. This agreement contains that Italy, Romania, Hungary, Bulgaria, and Finland may continue their responsibilities as a sovereign country and fulfill the conditions of membership at the United Nations. I'll end Today in History with February 10, 2009, the Iridium 33 communication satellite and Cosmos 2251 collide in orbit. A satellite collision struck the United States communication satellite Iridium 33 with an unused satellite Cosmos 2251 owned by Russia. The collision in space north of Siberia happened precisely at an altitude of 788 kilometers. The collision has produced more than 500 pieces of satellite fragments. The collision caused the worst space fragments since the deliberate destruction of China's old climate monitoring satellite in 2007. That was Today in History from RRI World Service in Jakarta. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you next time.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
That was Tanpamu, sung by Lala Suwages. You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will bring a topic about Indonesia prepares 54 athletes for Special Olympics. Listener, Indonesia prepares 54 athletes to take part in a Special Intellectual Disabilities Multi-Brand Sports Championship SOWG, Special Olympics World Games 2019, which will take place in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates on March 8 until March 22, 2019. Related to the event, the Deputy Chairperson of the Field Technical Special Olympics Indonesia Contingent SOWG 2019, Mustara Musa, escorted by Antara, said in Jakarta on Thursday, February 7th, that the athletes participating in the Special Olympics training in Rawamangun were the selection athletes from the 8th National Sports Week Special Olympics Indonesia, or SOINA, 2018 in Riau. The number of 54 athletes is a quota provided by Special Olympics International. Mustara also said that SOINA 2019 national training will take place in a number of places in Jakarta, such as Rawamangun Sports Center and B Campus of State University of Jakarta in East Jakarta, Duren Sawit Soccer Field in East Jakarta, Ancol Bowling Center in North Jakarta, and Bojana Tirta Swimming Pool in East Jakarta on February 4th until March 7, 2019. Mustara also explained that SOINA national training in Jakarta was expected to form a contingent that was not only physically ready, but also mentally ready. The national training program is also a continuation of training programs in the regions. In addition to physical training, Mustara said that the Special Olympic athletes will also get technical and non-technical skills because they asked the people with intellectual disabilities also needed special treatment. The Special Olympics World Games 2019 in Abu Dhabi will hold a championship of 11 sports. Those are athletics, football, basketball, handball, volleyball, badminton, futsal, swimming, soccer, and tennis. The SOINA contingent to Abu Dhabi consists of 54 athletes, 20 trainers, 14 contingent staff, 5 additional staff, 1 contingent chairman, 2 contingent vice presidents, and 1 medical personnel. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Matamu melemahkanku saat pertama kali kulihatmu. Dan jujur, ku tak pernah merasa, ku tak pernah merasa begini. Matamu melemahkanku saat pertama kali kulihatmu. Dan jujur, ku tak pernah merasa, ku tak pernah merasa begini. Oh, mungkin inikah cinta pandangan yang pertama. Karena apa yang ku rasa ini tak biasa. Jika benar ini cinta, mulai dari mana? Oh, dari mana? Dari matamu, matamu kulai jatuh cinta. Ku melihat, melihat ada bayang. Masa ku buatmu jatuh, jatuh terus, jatuh ke hati. Dari matamu, matamu ku mulai jatuh cinta. Ku melihat, melihat ada bayangnya. Dari masa ku buatmu jatuh, jatuh terus, jatuh ke hati. benar ini cinta mulai dari mana? Oh dari mana? Dari matamu, matamu ku mulai jatuh cinta. Ku melihat, melihat ada bayangnya. Dari mata kau buat ku jatuh, jatuh terus jatuh ke hati. Dari matamu, matamu ku mulai jatuh cinta. Ku melihat, melihat ada bayangnya. Dari mata kau buat ku jatuh, jatuh terus jatuh ke hati. Dari mata kau buat ku jatuh, jatuh terus. Dari jatuh ke hati.
Voice of Indonesia.
That was Dari Mata, sung by Jazz. You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz on www.voinews.id. Listener, now we will present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Banjarmasin City in South Kalimantan, which has the nickname the City of a Thousand Rivers, has a unique destination that characterizes the city, namely the Floating Market. In the Floating Market in the middle of the Martapura River in Lok Baintan, Sungai Pinang Village, Sungai Tabuk District, Banjarmasin, sellers use boats that are filled with a variety of vegetables, fruits, traditional food, to souvenirs, selling their merchandise to buyers who also use boats. To see activities in the floating market in Lok Baintan, tourists usually use traditional boats called kloto, which are motorized. This floating market operates every day from 6 a.m. until approximately 8 a.m. in the morning. The rent of one kloto boat that has a capacity of up to 20 people is pegged at 350,000 rupiahs. On this boat, tourists can also enjoy a cup of coffee and traditional cincin, or ring, and apem cakes. The sellers are mostly women who would row incessantly over merchandise. In this floating market, the barter system still applies, and money is not the main transaction tool here. Generally, merchandise that will be bartered or exchanged is the produce of vegetables and fruits. The amount of barter results depends on the agreement of both parties. If you have agreed, each will get the item as desired. From downtown Banjarmasin, Lok Baintan Floating Market can be reached by two roads. The first is along the Martapura River by using a kloto boat. A trip from the city center to the floating market only takes 30 minutes, while the second route is using land vehicles such as cars heading to the river. The second option takes more time, approximately 1 hour. Thank you. When you are visiting Indonesia and you happen to be in South Kalimantan or Banjarmasin City in particular, find time in the morning to enjoy a glass of coffee and some traditional cake or to buy fruits at Lok Baintan Floating Market in Martapura River. Because it is floating market, you and the seller, while wandering the waves of the Martapura River, will interact and possibly bargain. This is indeed the attraction of Lok Baintan Floating Market. And also, this is Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'm Putri Safi Radela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia.
That was Cinta, sung by GAC or GAC. You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz on www.voinews.id. Listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world with Miscellany. This edition explores the topic of climate village is prepared in village and sub-district in Probolinggo Regency. Stay tuned into RRW service Voice of Indonesia on 3325 kHz or at www.voinews.id. Listener, Probolinggo Regional Government in East Java will establish a climate village in villages and sub-districts in the local area. This is an implementation of Minister of Environment and Forestry Regulation No. 84 of 2016 concerning the Climate Village Program. This was said by the head of Probolinggo District Environmental Service Agency, Rahmat Waluyo, through the head of mitigation section Sutopo in Probolinggo recently. Before the establishment of the climate village, socialization will be carried out to the societies in various villages and sub-districts in Probolinggo. Sutopo said that the establishment of the climate village was very necessary to develop the society's awareness and participation to tackle the effects of climate change in Indonesia. He explained that the climate village program was a national program developed by Ministry of Environment and Forestry. The aim is to encourage the participation of the societies and all parties in carrying out local actions to increase resilience to the effects of climate change on reducing the emissions and greenhouse effects. In addition, the Climate Village program is also expected to create a society that understands the problems of climate change and its impacts, as well as proactively implementing climate change adaptation and mitigation actions contributing to the achievement of sustainable national development. Sutopo hopes that the Climate Village program can increase enthusiasm to build climate resilience and reduce the greenhouse effect through adaptation and mitigation activities in order to preserve the environment. The activities developed in the climate village are the rescue of springs, the use of alternative energy by developing micro-hydro, utilization of livestock manure, and conservation by implementing reforestation and construction of infiltration wells. The efforts to implement the Climate Village program can be integrated with the Corporate Social Responsibility Program, better known as CSR, and synergize with the related agency activities program. That was Miscellany for today. I'm Patricia Fitradla. Thank you for listening and see you on the next topic.
Voice of Indonesia.
ku sadari betapa indah ku berada di sisimu. Saat cinta harus pergi mematahkan sumpah janjiku, merangkul cintaku. Semua indah tentangmu menyisakan kegetiran di detak nafasku, memasung di jiwa. Kepergianku bukan berarti tuk mengingkari cinta. Mestinya kau tahu pilihan jalanku. Meninggalkanmu sungguh terasa berat di umur hidupku. Pasti ku kan kembali untukmu.
Voice of Indonesia.
That was Kembali Untukmu, sung by Ivan Sabah. You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz on www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Listener's Mailbag.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. We would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Pravotorov Konstantin in Ukraine. He was listening to our broadcast and English program through shortwave on frequency of 3325 kHz on January 14, 2019. At 1300 hours to 1400 hours UTC with the SINPO 25232. Hello, Pravotorov Konstantin, how are you? It's nice to receive your reception report. It's very detailed, although the signal was weak, only 25232. As information, we have also a program called Indonesia Today that is broadcast at 800 hours to 1000 hours UTC. You can listen to this program through website www.voinews.id and also at a replay. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song just for you. Well, pro voter of Konstantin, here is the song.
Lama sendiri dalam langkah sepi, tak pernah kukira bahwa akhirnya tiada dirimu di sisiku. Meski waktu datang dan berlalu sampai kau tiada bertahan, semua takkan mampu mengubahku. Hanyalah kau yang ada di renungku, hanyalah dirimu mampu membuatku jatuh dan mencinta. Kau bukan hanya sekedar indah, kau tak akan terganti. Oh, oh, oh. Tak pernah ku duga bahwa akhirnya tergugat janjimu dan janjiku. Meski waktu datang dan berlalu sampai kau tiada bertahan, semua takkan mampu mengubahku. Hanyalah kau yang ada di relungku, hanyalah dirimu mampu membuatku jatuh dan mencinta. Kau bukan hanya sekedar indah, kau tak akan terganti. Mampu mengubahku, hanyalah kau yang ada di relungku, hanyalah dirimu mampu membuatku jatuh dan mencinta. Kau bukan hanya sekedar indah, kau tak akan terganti.
Listener, now we will reply an email from Baikan Hazarika in India. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency of 3325 kHz on January 20, 2019 at 13:45 hours UTC. In his email, Baikan Hazarika told that he was listening to Voice of Indonesia segment Listener's Mailbag that replied emails from Germany, Brazil, and also Japan. Hello, Baikan Hazarika, thank you very much for your compliment on our broadcast, which according to you is very outstanding, informative, and entertaining. We hope our broadcast can entertain our other listeners. For your request, we will provide them as soon as possible. Please not to be disappointed. Hopefully, you will continuously listen to our broadcast and please send your research report as well on our broadcast. Thank you very much. And for you and also for other listeners, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song. To listeners' mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply a letter from Malikullah Bachaya Kokar in Pakistan. In his email, Malik said that he is a regular listener of Voice of Indonesia's English program. Hello, Malikullah Bachaya Kokar. Thank you for your loyalty to our broadcast. We have some interesting segments such as current affairs and also music. And which segment do you like the most? If you miss our segment, you can find it out on our website www.voynews.id. Well, Mr. Malikullah Bachaya Kokar, please keep listening to our broadcast every day. As our appreciation, we will play a beautiful song for you and for our other regular listeners wherever you are. Thank you.
Kemarin Desau angin meniupkan namamu, tubuhku terpaku semalam. Bulan sabit melengkungkan senyummu, tabur bintang serupa kilau auramu. Aku pun sadari ku segera berlari. Cepat pulang, cepat kembali, jangan pergi lagi. Firasat
That was our segments of English Bulletin for today. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia at 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to like and comment on Facebook fan page Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and send your email to voi@voinews.id.